Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, everybody, welcome to Locked On NHL. I am your co-host, Chris Maselli from Locked On Avalanche. And with me each and every Thursday, even though this one is coming out a little bit late, Mr. Adam Decker from Locked On Lightning. So thank you for joining the show and hanging out with us at the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. So, Mr. Denker, how's your day going so far?
It's going well. I think it's a nice change of pace for us to kind of maybe do a little, I guess what we normally had is a Wednesday night recording session, kind of turned into a Thursday night fireside chat.
Life gets in the way sometimes. So, but I mean, we could have just said, no, we're just going to, but no,
but that's here we are.
The dedication we have to the Locked On Podcast Network and the people who listen to Locked On NHL.
You guys know what makes this show go.
So. Absolutely. So some good stuff going around the National Hockey League. We're going to be talking about maybe a comeback. I don't know if it's going to happen. Even if it doesn't, just what Henrik Lundqvist is doing right now, just having skates and pads on is crazy. So we will be talking about that. We will get kind of our thoughts out there on the whole Panarin situation. We'll look back at Lake Tahoe. We're about a week removed from that. We'll kind of look back how it went, some good and some bad. And then seems like it's a two-headed monster for the Hart right now between McDavid and Austin Matthews. So we'll kind of throw our two cents into that whole mix. So let's start with some, even though he's not on the Rangers, we're kind of going to bundle these two together as a New York Rangers discussion. So Henrik Lundqvist, no secret, same for you. Like, I think everything of the guy. It's one of those things where I was a little bit heartbroken that he wasn't going to finish his entire career with one team. I get it. And then you get the whole open heart surgery thing. And then you're like, I just hope the guy just makes it through this and can just who cares about hockey? I just, you know, just keep Hank alive. And that has happened. And now what is it, like 40 something days, 41 days, 42 days since that open heart surgery, which went well. And he puts a video up on Twitter of him back on the ice in pads, making saves, not like sprawling out, but almost like they were doing like a shootout with him or something like that. Is he crazy, number one, for doing this? Or is it, this is just Henrik Lundqvist?
I think it's first of all, what a great story. He got the surgery. I believe back in December, if I'm not wrong. Come on. Like this.
Let me see when he did, because I think it was after that, man. It was.
I know he made the announcement in December, but just being back this early is unbelievable. And obviously both of us being from New York, and we know how much he's meant to the city. It was unfortunate to see him go, but obviously, you know, as well as
right.
The whole thing with the heart. That's just regardless of what sweater you wear. That's just not a good thing to have, and good thing that he's back, and good thing first of all that the surgery went well. Come on, it's an for those who've not had surgery or really don't know anyone,
for those that haven't had open heart surgery, which yes, 99% of the population.
Basically, and neither of us have.
Not yet. Although I am turning 40 on Saturday, so I think maybe like a week after you turn 40.
I think they'll start the procedure as the clock starts, hits midnight on your birthday. But just an incredible story. Just the fact that he's better and all that, but the fact that he's already in pads, I can't believe it. And I'm already picking it now, and maybe I'm just caught up in the moment, but I think if he comes back, because he's still going to leave some time open to see whether or not he thinks maybe coming back to the NHL is the right thing for him in terms of his health and just for him and his family. If he comes back, I'm calling it right now, he's winning the Vezina 100%. You don't just come back from a heart surgery and play an average season.
Yeah, it doesn't even matter how he performs. It's just if he gets on the ice.
Well, no, I think he's going to put up big numbers to where it's going to merit. I don't think they're going to just hand it out to him.
He made the announcement in December. He had the surgery in January. I don't know when in January. I think it was pretty early. So a little over a month.
We'll
say a month and a half. Right. Yeah. So 40 some days. It's crazy. But they are saying, like, you know, he I don't know if he was out there on the ice doing these drills to get back in game shape or just because he's just a hockey guy and he just wants to get out there, because they're still throwing around. He has months of recovery time that he's going to need before hockey's a thought. Do you think he does? Do you think this is the end of Lundqvist, or is it up to the doctors, or is it, I mean, where do you think this goes? I mean, he's probably not going to be there this year, but do you think he comes back? He only signed a 1-year deal with Washington. So, I mean, I think the future is still unknown for many reasons for him.
Well, I mean, he's 39. It's not exactly, you know, he's still, I think maybe this could very well do, you know, benefit his career and extending his career. If the doctors say, you know, you're okay to go, I don't see why not. I think the fact that he signed with Washington was to prove that he still got some left in the tank. And I think that he's going to look at this as unfinished business as long as he's physically able to go. As for his landing spot, I mean, there is a bunch of teams, I think, that could, whether he's going to be a starter or not, I think he would want the services of Henrik Lundqvist. We'll just have to wait and see what kind of diagnosis he gets as he makes progress in his rehab. But I mean, like I said, if he comes back, I think he's going to make a big impact on whatever club he ends up with.
We'll see. I mean, I he's one of my favorites of all time. Yeah. So I'm of the mind of, I don't care. Just let's say he were to come back. I don't care where he goes. If, you know, the Avalanche aren't in it, and he is, I don't care who he's playing for. I am rooting for him, even if it's my arch enemy in, like, you know, the Minnesota Wild. I hate to say that. Would I root for the Minnesota Wild if Henrik Lundqvist was on there and they were playing for a Stanley Cup? That would be the worst possible scenario, but I'd like to see him get one.
I hate to say it, but I think I draw the line at Philly. Sorry, Flyer fans.
You can't do that? Really?
I mean, I would root for him, but I'd be like, I would hate myself at the same time.
That's the thing. Yeah. Can you just root for a player to get it? And you can be excited for the player, but not the team, right?
Can a hockey player win a game on his own? I think there's a position in which you can.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, and Hank's former team, still weird saying that, but his former team is going, well, a particular player, a few days ago now, Artemi Panarin has taken a leave of absence. You know, this is not brand new news, but kind of more stuff is coming out, or should I say a lack thereof is more coming out, and is not coming out, I should say. And I mean, I guess if people don't really know the story, he's taken a leave of absence because there's been a Russian coach who said when he was playing for him and he was 18 years old, 19 years old, he is claiming he physically assaulted a female. So Panarin has taken leave of absence for that. He has been a very vocal person against the Russian government. So, you know, we're not turning into Locked On Politics right here, but the more days that go by, you're getting more and more people backing him up, saying like, this is very, you know, not like the person he is. This sounds just like, you know, sour grapes on the Russian side of things, wanting to take him down. And it sounds like it's a conjured up story. Do you have to investigate it? Yeah. I mean, those are serious allegations. So you would want your name cleared if you didn't do it. And if you did do it, then, you know, deal with the consequences. So it's sound, even the KHL has come out and said they never received any complaints. What's your take on this whole situation? This is crazy.
It, you know, in a situation like this, especially in the recent years with the women's movement and everything that's come to light with the hashtag Me Too movement, we're as a society listening to more and taking the stories of victims more seriously. And we're not saying that we're going to discredit the woman's account in this case, but the problem is that there is no account.
There's no actual
woman. Yeah, apparently. Which to me, and from everything, all the information that is out there, and the fact that the KHL came out and even said this is kind of not true,
right?
And from everything that I've heard, being in New York, from people that I know that are affiliated with the Rangers and just in the hockey world, and just know about everything that's going on behind the scenes, this guy, the coach, and for those who don't know, Andre Nazarov played, I think, 12 years in the NHL. He was, I mean, for lack of a better term, he was an unmemorable player. He played for the Sharks, bounced around after that. Really, this just looks like a guy, and I think that's what it's really going to come down to, unless maybe next week, when we're talking next week, this completely new information that right. is legitimate comes out.
Sure.
Really, all this looks like is a guy who has, it's been noted, he's had a history of emotional and mental outbursts, who is very politically involved in Russia, trying to gain favor with Vladimir Putin to and from what I heard, he's just coming out saying this because he really wants that head coaching job for Team Russia really bad, and he thinks that this might put him in, you know, the driver's seat for possibly doing that. And first of all, regardless of what job that is, I mean, I think we can mutually agree that that's just a scumbag move.
Yeah, it's like, you know, in like court proceedings when you object for a BS reason, but you just got it out there and got it on the record. I just get the feeling that this guy's doing it. Yeah. I mean, maybe to advance his career and to just make Panarin suffer for a little while.
Yeah. And the thing that really, really sucks in the long run with this situation is hopefully because there has, you know, they're obviously the one concern about this whole situation is, you know, Panarin does have family back in Russia. And,
right.
You know, they could be at risk. There's that, as well as, you know, there's always going to be, regardless if it comes out in a week or so, if he's completely innocent, which it seems like it's trending in that direction. But in the day and age, there's always going to be that what if surrounding Panarin. You know, and it's unfortunate because he's a very young guy. He's done a lot for the league and hockey, as well as stuff not even pertaining to hockey, just stuff being a good person off the ice. And it's just unfortunate situation and just unfortunate towards New York Rangers that in an already kind of drama filled year that they just got over Tony DeAngelo over two weeks ago. Now they got to deal with their top player.
Yeah, right.
Dealing with this situation. So hopefully in a week or so, and I'm not just saying this because I'm a Ranger fan as well as a New York kid, hopefully just for the sake of just something ending on a good note, that this is nothing more than just a fantastic lie told by someone desperate for attention and the advancement of their career.
I think he had a good point. Maybe his whole idea in doing this was just so it follows him around for a little while.
Yeah.
And that would satisfy this person, but I don't know. We'll see. He's still out, I believe, for now. Yeah. I don't know how long this leave is going to go for, but it seems to be a whole bunch of malarkey, as
hogwash.
The people of my age say.
Rubbish.
Or rubbish. Yeah. Yeah. I still have a couple days before I can really use those terms. So,
and then I'll start making fun of you.
Yeah. Okay. all right. Let's hear from betonline.ag. And it is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football, it might be over, but the NBA is around. College basketball is around. The NHL is obviously around. Is college basketball, are they doing their tournament like normal this year? Like, is 64 teams, or no? Is it changed?
I originally thought, and I just hadn't really been following it just because
me neither.
It hasn't been what it usually is.
Yeah. And the weird thing is I'm a Michigan guy. So yeah. Michigan's doing great. So,
and I'm a Duke fan. So them not playing well even adds to it worse.
Oh yeah.
But I was under the impression that they're originally just going to do all the teams and just have this massive tournament. But I think now that they're going to have just the normal bracket.
Are they? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, whenever that comes around, I mean, the games that are out right now, obviously you can bet, but we're getting to the March Madness period. So get your account, betonline.ag. And if you want to bet on award shows or TV shows or reality TV, I don't know how you do that, but feel free. You can. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything that you can imagine. Betonline.ag has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It is the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head over to the website and sign up for your free account, and you will receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Betonline.ag, it is your online sportsbook experts. All right. Let's go take a trip to Lake Tahoe, and it's over. It was a entertaining weekend on many different areas. One game took forever to play.
I wonder what game that was.
And the other was a bit of a blowout, but we'll start with my guys and the Avalanche. So, you know, I think it helps because they won. If I went through a day of that and they lost, it would just hurt a little bit more. But
can you just lay out for our listeners how you approached? I mean, everybody by now knows that this game was postponed because of issues with the ice. But lay out for our listeners your day on Saturday, because you did describe it to me, but you need to retell this story.
Well, I mean, it was so I'm in New York, and it was a 3 o'clock start time here, which for me is good on one end, because being on the East Coast and being a fan of the Avalanche and the way that this season is constructed, they're playing nothing but West Coast games. So my start times are 9-10 o'clock Eastern. So it sucks because I'm getting like no sleep. So I had a 3 o'clock games. So I'm like, that's cool. But on the other side, I got two little kids, and it's like, I was trying so like covertly to coincide like my son's nap time with when the game started, but I didn't want to tip my wife off to that. So it was so, and it worked. He was taking a nap during the first period, and I'm like, if I could just get half this game in uninterrupted, I'll be happy. And guys were just biting it left and right, and it was always around center ice where they were just face planting.
I was shocked that it got to the point to where there was almost a trench being formed in the middle.
Dude.
At center ice.
They showed a replay, a slow-mo replay, and
was that Landeskog that ate it going back to the bench?
Landeskog did.
Yeah.
Jason Jost did.
The ref did at one point
multiple times. Like, and that's just on the Avalanche side. Guys on Vegas were doing it too. So, you know, obviously they postponed it. So. When Gary Bettman is being interviewed by Tirico, and if you go back and watch it, and he's and Bettman is standing there so nonchalantly, just like leaning up against the boards, and he's like, he goes, "So we're gonna restart this at 9 o'clock local time." Tirico goes, "Midnight Eastern?" Like, he's like, "Are you kidding me?" His reaction was my reaction. I'm like, oh my God, they're 3 hours behind. They're not two, they're 3 hours behind. I'm like, holy crap, how am I going to do this? So I went to sleep, man. I went to sleep around 9 o'clock, set the alarm for 11:45 to get up and watch a hockey game at midnight for another 2 hours.
Yeah. That was wild. And on the other side of that, how my day went. So I was telling Chris beforehand, 25% capacity, occupancy here in New York City with bars and restaurants. And so I originally just left the house and made plans after the postponement. And my first thought, I was like, why are they replaying the game? You know, I'm out at the bar with friends and, you know, and it's midnight. I'm like, why are we replaying this game? And then I realized the sun was down, and I was like, oh no, Oh no.
What is going on here? What?
Yeah. But now on to the more important kind of things surrounding this. This just and Emily Kaplan on Twitter put out the perfect tweet about saying just this kind of just makes all the Stadium Series games obsolete. I think we could agree that the view was incredible.
Insane.
And just the whole vibe that was going on. And especially I loved how like the players didn't show up, especially for Boston in the other game, on the Sunday game, if I'm not mistaken, where they showed up in like 90s attire. I want that to be a thing permanently around the league. Like just not just 90 attire, but make it themed. But with everything else, just the atmosphere in the water with people in their kayaks, just all that stuff. I think the NHL has, I think, finally found something that works.
Yeah.
And they need to really stay on this and maybe do something where they just do these games strictly for maybe charity, where they price the tickets a ridiculous amount of money, where you and I can't get this unless we get a media pass. But you do that with the sole focus of obviously having the game outside, but as well as, you know, raising money for a good cause. And I think it's good PR at the end of the day. And I don't know, I'm kind of throwing you a curveball right now with this, but I think the next outdoor game should be at Two Jack Lake and Alberta, and have maybe Battle of Alberta. Now it's sort of like Lake Tahoe and for people who don't know where this place is, it's basically the outdoor pond that's always frozen over and you can see right through the ice. Always on TSN, it's always on Instagram. That's where the next game needs to play, and the jerseys made it even better too.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Well, one of them did. The other one didn't make any sense.
I still don't understand the reverse retros for Vegas.
They don't have one. It's just a jersey.
It's like that, and the Islanders are just like.
Yeah. Yeah. They phoned
it. Sorry, Islander fans. Throw a shot there.
I can't take credit for this because I heard it for on another show somewhere. But when I heard it, I was like, "Oh, that needs to happen," and I'm surprised you didn't just come up with it. Central Park in New York City.
You know what's funny? I said that literally. I was on a show before this, and I said that. I've been saying that. All right, here's the thing. Now you can tell I've held this in for years.
You've said it so many times.
I've said it so many times to where it's just frustrating. I'm just like I've been saying it for ever since we had the outdoor games years ago with the Rangers, the Islanders, and the Devils at Yankee Stadium. Even beforehand, Central Park. I mean, anybody that's ever been to Central Park, the Great Lawn, right smacked in the middle, tons of space. So don't even tell me that there's no space to play this game.
Yeah. Oh my God.
You have six baseball fields all in one. So it's the perfect spot. I would love maybe if unfortunately, if COVID is still a thing in the future and we have to scale back the fans, just have the playoffs and the Stanley Cup Finals out in outdoor games.
Oh my God.
Imagine Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals in Lake Tahoe, in Grand Central Park, on a lake in Alberta. Maybe Elon Musk could get on this. We have a game on the moon or something like that. I know that we're still waiting. The technology isn't there yet, but still, I just think that the NHL, going back to my point, has opened up the door for endless opportunities in which they could take this.
They have now.
It would, I really am praying, because we've spoken about it a ton on this show, how the NHL could promote the game. And I really hope they do this. I really hope they keep going with this. And get weird with it. Have an outdoor game in Los Angeles on top of the freeway, while there's bumper to bumper traffic in Los Angeles. Get crazy with it. Have one in the desert during the cold season in Arizona.
Is there like a building somewhere where you can do it on like top of the bill, like, you know, Clerks style? Just do it.
I thought about this.
On top of the Quick Stop at Clerks.
Have it on top of the Sears Tower in Chicago. I mean, just put a rink on top of that huge, whatever, the monument in St. Louis.
The Ark.
Ark. What the hell are you gonna do? Have it on the in Washington, where they have the inauguration, the little
reflection
pool.
Man, there you go.
Do that there. See?
There you go. I like it. But the interesting thing is, to wrap this up, the Avalanche played a game that started in the sun and ended under the moon that took about 12 hours. The funny thing is the Bruins and the Flyers did the same exact thing, and their game was a normal time frame game, which I don't understand. That's so confusing to me, is because, yeah, I get why the NHL wanted to have like the ambiance and the scenery and stuff like that. But to have that game at, why couldn't you have that game at 5 o'clock Western time? You're still going to get sunlight. Doing it at 1 o'clock Western time, it was cold enough. The issue was just, it was zero clouds in the sky, and that killed the ice. So yeah, I get it. You want to have the scenery, but you can still do that later in the day when you won't have those ice problems. And it was odd.
And I think like at one point during the broadcast, just that ended, I think Tirico said something when they were going into the whole postponement break thing, was that the NHL was sort of banking on, I guess, bad weather. And when I say bad weather, maybe just like partly cloudy skies.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
And obviously they didn't get that. A little hiccup there. But I mean, other than that, other than the 9 hour delay, which affected you more obviously than me and Avalanche and Vegas fans. Still, I think we give this effort towards the NHL an A+.
Oh yeah, it's a home run. Even with the problems, it was still a home run.
Oh, it was
still a home run. Yeah.
Yeah.
And even the Nathan MacKinnon hole in one attempt, which was recorded, which was the most anticlimactic thing I've ever seen in my life, because that's the most impossible thing to do in any sport. That shot, there was like 75 mile an hour wind gusts going, and you're like, this ain't gonna happen. So
I have to admit, when they did the little preview before the game with Joe Sakic kind of playing golf, I was like, are we gonna watch Joe Sakic just play 18 holes like it's nothing? Because I'm down for that too.
They could have. So all right, let's hear from Rock Auto, and then we'll talk about some Hart Trophy candidates. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet, whether it's for your classic or daily driver. Get everything you need in a few easy clicks, delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand's specifications and prices that you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and the do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck right locked on in the How Did You Hear About Us section, so they know we sent you to them. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. That's rockauto.com. Okay. It's like I said in the beginning, it's kind of a two-headed game between Connor McDavid and Austin Matthews for the Hart Trophy candidate. First of all, do you think both of these guys can continue the pace that they are on?
I think 100%. And I think that goes back to what we said on the last show, especially about Austin Matthews, is the guys, these goal scorers, these snipers, especially like Austin Matthews, the Alexander Ovechkins, the guys that go out there and take 8 to 10 slap shots a game. This kind of schedule that they're playing right now, these guys feed off of that. To face the same goalie 2-3 times a week, especially when he could possibly be struggling, I think that is, and it goes back to the baseball logic as well, that you brought up last show, that you know, the fact that, you know, a hitter is hot and he's every pitch looks like a balloon. And I think that kind of looks like what these guys are looking at. You know, every goalie looks like a piece of Swiss cheese. There's so many holes where they could throw the puck in. And we were kind of talking on the last show about how Austin Matthews, can he hit the 50 goal mark? Well, he's on pace to hit 50 on the dot right now.
Is he really?
And he's been doing this all. Remember, he's been doing this all with a nagging wrist injury. So imagine if he finally gets, you know, that to, you know, settled. And I mean, who knows? I think they both have the pieces around them to continue their torrid paces. With McDavid, I don't know if he's going to obviously keep up in goals, but I think he's definitely going to tally a lot more points. I think it really comes down to as who might come up on top in terms of winning the MVP, the Hart Trophy. I think that really is going to come down to where their teams finish in the Canadian division.
So I'm looking at the just what's up on NHL.com, and they just have, you know, the top 10 guys. And if, you know, if I were to go deeper, I'm sure there's some other guys that are tied with 10 points, but the 10 guys that they have up here, how many do you think are from Canadian teams?
Out of the,
if
first
you're looking
six,
at it, I don't know if you're looking at
I
it.
I am looking at it.
Okay, so you're cheating is what you're doing.
Well, you never said that it was off limits, sir. So the out of the top six, you have five players in the Canadian division.
Yeah, I mean, out of these 10 guys that they show, there's three guys that are in on American teams. So does that say something about the Canadian division, that it's just easy to score up there? I mean, I don't know, but
it's the thin air. That's what, yeah, it is.
But I mean, you look at overall points and McDavid is ahead of Matthews by 7. McDavid has 38 compared to Matthews 31, but then skip over to goals and Matthews is up by 5 on McDavid just in goals.
Yeah.
So, here's my thing with Austin Matthews, and I really hope I don't annoy some people here, but you know, if I preface anything by saying that, I'm probably going to annoy some people. Don't you get the impression from a media standpoint, the media wants like Austin Matthews to be that guy that goes head to head with Connor McDavid. And anytime he, like the media has been waiting for Austin Matthews to do what he's doing right now for years, and now that he's doing it, they are flaunting over him, and it's like, this is what we knew, we always knew he could do this.
Yeah, but
the fact that he is like, he's almost going up to that next level, which is, you know, you're like, well, he's already a superstar, but he's kind of taking off right now, and the media is having a field day with it because they've been waiting for him to do this for years.
Yeah, and I think it's hockey media's need to have one superstar pitted against another, because let's face it, we're not going to have Crosby versus Ovechkin forever.
Right.
And I read a piece, I forgot who wrote it and what website, ironically at the moment, who wrote it. And if I remember, I'll definitely post it to my Twitter account, but it was an article saying how it's time for Austin Matthews to take the mantle from Alexander Ovechkin to be the NHL's next great goal scorer. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is the year he's finally starting to do it. And I think that McDavid, on the other hand, is also starting to take it, the torch from Crosby in a way, as the jack of all trades guy. He can beat you with his passing. He can beat you with his skating. I mean, we haven't even discussed the trademark McDavid move now, where he scored 2 goals in a span of, I think, maybe what, 4 months. The McDavid, what are we even calling it? The McDavid stop and go, where he just, he stops real short on the rush and he just swings it past the goaltender, which I don't know how you defend that. And I don't really look at it as McDavid versus Matthews at the end of the day. I just look at it as two guys who just happen to play for Canadian teams, who are battling it out for the top spot in the Canadian division. So yeah, obviously there's always, especially these guys were drafted a year apart from each other, so there's always going to be that comparison. And I mean, I don't, do you think there, I don't think, I think you could agree that there's really no wrong answer in terms of who the Hart Trophy winner is going to be at the end of the season if these two keep it up.
No, I would be fine with either one of those two. And I hate always saying, like, you know, if it was between these two, I would probably go the Austin Matthews route. And I hate that I always say that, because I take it away from Connor McDavid, because yeah, we know he's the greatest. Yeah. And it's unfair to not give him the award, because he just keeps doing what he's doing. He deserves the recognition in terms of hardware, as much as anybody else. And it shouldn't be taken away from him because he's, you know, on another level than everybody else. But I think the thing that might be different between McDavid and Matthews, obviously, is like in normal circumstances, they're not going to be Crosby and Ovechkin because they're in different divisions. They play on different ends of the country. They only play each other a couple of times a year. So you're not going to get that rivalry that you do. And, you know, who knows how many years we have left of Crosby and Ovechkin, but we're not going to get that with McDavid and Matthews.
But wouldn't you say, just to argue against that point, that that's what makes these matchups even that more special, that you don't like get when this they, as often? Yeah, when they do play. I think it's more, I mean, it's always an event when Crosby and Ovechkin cross paths, especially in the playoffs. But I mean, in recent years, other than the playoff games that Ovechkin and Crosby had, I think we've always, I think we've sort of to a certain point been spoiled with them meeting up as many times as they are. So when you have the Maple Leafs play the Oilers, and you've seen it with the coverage, it's almost an event. It's almost like sort of, I guess what you would imagine what Mario and versus Gretzky was back in the day.
It's almost like the allure of the Yankees Mets has completely worn off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if you did that once every, like every other year, or even once every like 5 years,
yeah,
people would flock to it. So you're probably onto something there. Like, you know, they play less often. So when they do play, it's must watch hockey.
So I guess to maybe end that point, are you saying that maybe the NHL should go probably the old school football, the football method of playing one division outside of your conference, or at this point you're in the Western Conference per year? So maybe the Atlantic plays, I don't know, the Pacific strictly as the West Coast team for one season, and then they rotate to another.
Oh, you mean if they keep like this current style of
schedule, or if they go back to the old style?
I mean, if you go back to the old style, you're only playing that other side of the country twice a year anyway.
Right. But to give fans kind of that taste and wanting them to hunger for more, as opposed to maybe four games a year, we have McDavid and Matthews. Maybe next year they strictly play only the Pacific division. Well,
that so two is too few and eight is too many, basically. Yes. So kind of like somewhere in the middle. Yep. I mean, that was an old an old way of hockey. Yeah. I mean, there were times where I can't remember how it was exactly set up, but yeah, like the East and West would play each other more than twice a year. Maybe go back to that, because people want to see the matchups. That's what they want to see. So if you have these two guys there, yeah, do it.
I just hope that the NHL doesn't fall in love with the Canadian division, because I mean, the NHL, the Canadian division has given us everything I think we hoped for out of that. And I hope they don't keep these divisions the way they are, because especially how lopsided they are. If you look at the Central, I mean, the Central is starting to pick up, I mean, as well. And then obviously the Pacific is,
well, they can't needs really. Work. Yeah. Because you know, we have the Kraken coming in, which will just make things even more lopsided, and the way that they had things set up, everything was equal. So,
right.
This is fun for now. I don't want to do this every year. I don't want to do this every year. This is annoying. I want to play more than seven teams in a season. So
I agree.
All right, man. That will be it for today and for this week. Next week we'll get back on track. I think hopefully
schedules
should be normal, and we'll get a mailbag out there. So follow us on Twitter, follow the show, Locked On NHL on Twitter. Follow me, LOPN_Avalanche. Follow Denker at
AP Denker DEN. Follow Locked On Lightning at LO_Lightning. Follow on Instagram at LockedOn_Lightning. And remember, we're announcing the winner of the Alex Killorn Stanley Cup signed puck. So go ahead and go to the Instagram or the Twitter page for the rules. Get in on that so you have a chance to win.
Cool. All right. Yeah. That'll be it for today, everybody. Have a wonderful weekend. And if under normal circumstances, you would all be invited to my party. But... can't happen. So I'll turn 40 by myself.
Wah, wah, wah.
All right, everybody. See you next week.